Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And my name is Phil Vacchio.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us, although neither of us were here last weekend, but normally some combo of us, you or me, Phil, or
typically
the two of us together, are here talking to you about estate planning and elder law. Good stuff, bad stuff, and very informative stuff, no matter what.
We try to be informative as much as possible.
It's hard not to be, because it's just packed.
A lot of technical stuff involved, a lot of ifs, may, you know, scenarios.
Call and show. You could reach us at 518-476-5900. If you want to see us in one of our three offices in Albany, Kingston, and up in Saratoga Springs, you could reach us in the office at 518-465-7581. But the number for today, for this morning, is 476-5900. How's it going?
Pretty good, Dave. How are you today?
John, how are we doing?
Hey, not bad.
The weather is just stupid good.
Well, the weather is, and it's kind of fall-like. It's 58 degrees right now, and it's not going to get any warmer than, like, lower 70s all
week. Say no more. Where do I sign up?
Well, here we are.
I feel like we're in San Diego, kind of.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This is the best, though. Yeah, it's warm in the day, cool at night, but there's no bugs.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
I like,
right,
when there's no bugs around.
Too,
perfect fire pit weather.
I also like it when there's no tourists around.
Yeah,
a little, I like it when the kids are back in school.
Yep.
September is just a wonderful month. I was born in September, Phil. I was married in September.
Wow.
Oh, you really packed it in.
Yeah.
Big month.
It was one week span.
Yeah. You say that again. Packed it in. Yeah. Wow.
So, a lot going on, Phil.
Yeah. It's the busy season for us with, it's always busy at work, but the outside of work stuff seems to be particularly busy in October, September.
What's on the Vacchio agenda immediately after the show? What are you doing? Soccer, t-ball, this, that?
Oh, today, well, we got Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right? After
Brazilian.
This. Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
What's the difference?
Good question. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's a certain type. It's grappling, wrestling type related.
Okay.
Yeah, which
right.
is
and,
my alley.
And who's that for?
It's not for me. Although I would like to get back into it. That's for my son. Maybe one day, I always say, get back
in. Be careful. One day he's going to be able to beat you up. It's coming.
That's the goal.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I hope he can one day.
Yeah. I'm running straight out of here to about a quarter mile down the road to a soccer field. It's soccer season.
Yeah. My kids are not into soccer, so.
Oh, that's good.
Your son doesn't like running around in a pile following a ball?
He tried it. He tried it out. I like watching it. It's, you know, invigorating.
It's fun when they're little kids. They first start playing soccer, and yeah, they're like a pile going from here to there, you know, following.
No rules, John. Just follow the ball.
Yeah.
And have fun, Phil.
Yeah, yeah.
You just want to have fun.
That's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, our weekends are going to get even more packed, John, because coming up are going to be, I think we're involved in 4 or 5 Alzheimer's walks.
Yeah.
Oh, Jane Marie was talking about that last week.
Yeah, throughout. We'll be given next week. We'll tell everyone all the dates, all the locations, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think we have a free Saturday in October.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phil and I were talking, John. The Alzheimer's Association, obviously near and dear to our hearts. Mm-hmm. We help a lot of families where there's a dementia diagnosis somewhere in the fact pattern, and Alzheimer's is certainly a large piece of that. They're not the only organization we do a lot of work for, actually, and we support. And a couple of them we thought maybe we would highlight. Phil, you know, I know I'm involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Capital Region.
Oh, good organization.
Real, I mean, as pure as it gets.
Yeah.
And I know that ALS has been near and dear to our hearts as well in the office.
Sure.
And we've contributed there. And actually today, this evening, Phil and I are going to be going to the Great Escape.
Okay.
To take part and support Double H Ranch,
yeah. Oh, that's
okay.
A great organization.
Mm-hmm.
Helps, you know, disabled children. A place to go.
It's a great place.
Fun.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
So we, John, get to run around the Great Escape Park by ourselves at night.
We get to be children tonight, yeah.
Do you? Wow.
Yeah.
Do you get to go on rides, or how does that all work out?
I can go on the Comet 15 straight times if I choose
to. No kidding. Oh, man.
I will not choose. I'm not
I double dare you, Dave.
I'll do it once. Are you a
ride guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Roller coasters I like. Spinning rides I used to like, but as I got older, I like them less and less
for
whatever reason.
No, I just get little ill.
Yeah.
You know, dizzy.
I'm all set.
With the old rides across
pretty
the board?
Much. I'll go with the right. kids' rides.
Back in the day, you yeah. did you do the Gravitron when you were younger?
Yeah.
The spinning contraption, you stand on the walls?
That was fine. I think it was the teacups once upon a time that did me in.
Ooh, I can't
you
do
probably,
those.
You probably
Ooh.
Spun that middle wheel a little
yeah.
too hard.
A little
oh,
bit.
Oh, yeah.
Traumatic incident for you.
Well, the theme for tonight, and where are we yeah. going with this? Well, the theme for tonight is superheroes, because all those oh, kids yeah. that go to those camps are mm-hmm. superheroes,
they
and,
are.
As are their parents.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep.
And Phil, you deal with a lot of superheroes day to day as well.
Superheroes in many different shapes. In our practice, a lot of the superheroes come in the form of caregivers.
Right.
We have a lot of families who, you know, have someone in their lives that start to become ill, and a lot of times it falls on their loved ones to mm-hmm. step in and yeah. start caring for them. So we're meeting with people every day who are in different varying stages of that, whether it's maybe just beginning, right? You see the signs.
They don't even know they're about to be a superhero. You know, sometimes...
Yeah.
Sometimes you see the daughter and you're explaining how dad can come home from rehab
yeah.
and it'll be a different kind of home and there'll be a lot of help needed. And then we let them know there's a program, right? Community Medicaid that can
sure.
help. It's not going to be immediate. It might take a couple months to get it going. And in that interim, we have a new superhero, an origin story for a superhero right there.
Story.
Right there and then.
They may unintentionally slip into that role, not knowingly, not necessarily... willingly, but kind of have no better choice. And with proper planning, we always talk about it, can lessen the need for that. I think there's always going to be a need for caregivers of some sort, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of them want to do it because it's their loved one, it's their family, or they feel an obligation to do it, whatever the case is.
All the above, yeah.
All the above. But it's really, how many caregivers have you met with that experience that I call caregiver burnout? You know, your superhero powers only go so far if you're not caring for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, we have a caller here, so
you want to talk to Garth?
Yeah, I want to talk to Garth? Good morning, Garth. What's up? How are you?
Welcome back.
Not much. I'm doing well. I just wanted to. I had a quick question. If you have yourself a nice, well-made estate plan, and it includes a pour-over will,
yeah,
and If you have that set up, I mean you've got say a trust and various ways that are going to distribute your assets. Does a pour over will, despite the fact that you have everything else well done, you still with a pour over will have to go through probate?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. I will say, when you said pour over will, John made a face like pour. What's a pour over?
I never heard of that.
Garth, you never heard of pour over.
Garth's an educated guy.
You
he
never
knows
explained
the key terms.
Yeah.
Garth knows this stuff.
He does.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
So, guys out there, there are wills, and then there are trusts,
mm-hmm.
and there are different kinds of wills and different kinds of trusts, and
mm-hmm.
and
right.
whenever we do a trust for a family,
yeah.
we always end up doing a will for them as well, just in case.
Yeah, right.
Something
yeah.
falls through the cracks. They mm-hmm. forgot about an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a reason that they that the loved one passed away, and there's
right.
a litigation associated with it. So we always want a will in place just in case to clean up those things.
That sure. safety net, right?
Yeah. And we want the beneficiary of that will to be the trust. And if you could picture, John,
mm-hmm.
Something pouring into something else, that
uh-huh.
will's up here and it pours into the trust just
okay.
in case it's
All
needed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We want the trust to do the heavy lifting,
right.
on the who gets what
right.
as well. So, Garth, to answer your question, we sure hope that we don't need to go through probate, but we do that pour over will just in case we have to. And that would mean that there's some asset out there that was forgotten about. Maybe we're suing the pants off a hospital, or maybe there's mesothelioma in someone's lungs, or you never know, Phil.
It's for the unaccountables.
Yeah.
Right? Everything we can account for, we do account for, but there are some things we can't. And I use the same example as you, that litigation. If you're involved in a wrongful death lawsuit, or if you pass away in a tragic accident, there's a pending lawsuit, that judgment or settlement that may come after you pass away is not going to have a beneficiary attached to it. It didn't exist while I was alive.
If you knew it existed or it was going to exist, you'd go to a different hospital, right?
Yeah,
put yourself
hopefully.
In those situations. Garth, how'd we do?
Fantastic. I appreciate it. I always appreciate everything you guys do with the show. And I'm looking forward. I think you do your Albany Law School Elder Law Day. Is that in the spring? I think I missed this last, what is it, in April?
So there's normally one in the spring and then one in the fall, depending on, they have a veterans one as well. And let me tell you something, Garth. Okay. I've had more conversations about the games section of the LSAT since your call.
It's a big hit, Garth.
Big time.
Yeah.
You got a lot of likes and clicks on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Garth.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Still the best section ever of the LSATs.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm still in shock, actually.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
So, back to these superheroes, Phil, because we had a, you know, there are ebbs and flows in workflow sometimes when it comes to Medicaid services that we do. These are applying for nursing homes. Hopefully we avoid that. Applying for home care.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes we're converting home care into a nursing home situation. I know you had one like that. This week.
I did.
And the point to me of the home care is we want to try because that seems to be a better alternative than a nursing home.
Yeah. Well, it's the goal for most people to keep their loved ones and the person, him or herself. I've yet to meet the client when they're planning at a young age that says, hey, I can't wait to go to a nursing home one day. Right? Yeah. That doesn't happen. It's there because it's necessary.
Maybe not the can't wait. My mom is staunchly in the, when I get to that point, don't hesitate and put me somewhere
so that
you guys aren't going to have to deal with all this.
That's good.
That's her can't.
Hey, I respect that of Mama Kabiki.
Yeah, I do.
That's nice to say to your family because that could be a really stressful thing to
zero chance that'll happen, by the way, Mom,
if you're
listening. Nice try.
But it's nice that she threw it out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, keeping the person at home as long as possible is typically the goal, and that can be varying degrees of difficult. It can start off as, well, hey, mom or dad needs some care in the house, and it's all right. You know, let's use my family as an example. There's 9 siblings, right? You know this by now, Dave.
I know your
9
whole story.
Of us. Varying degrees of who will help, but there's 9 out there that are available for help. So let's say we said, oh, it's not an issue. We'll take turns. We'll stop by mom and dad's house. We'll take care of their needs. And that's great. And you want to do that as a family. And that may work for some time. But it could get worse really fast. Right? And although you're doing, you know, superhero type work and caring for your parents, you don't want to get to the point where you're in complete crisis mode and you can't anymore. It's not good for you as the caregiver.
Yeah.
It's not good for them who need the care. And if you're starting from zero at that point from a planning perspective, it's going to make our job as attorneys a lot more difficult to get care in place expeditiously.
Yeah. Right. And I think it requires, certainly requires someone like you, myself, Jay Marie, definitely involves someone like Kim to help you manage that process because it's a new territory for you. And it's very tough when you are eating to think about your next meal, right? Or like how, you know, what food do we have for a week from now? While you are, you know, have plenty of food on the table. And when you're able to take care of the situation now, which a lot of your clients are, they say, yeah, we're good right now. They have to look forward to that time where it might be a lot tougher to find the food for the table. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You gotta shop ahead of time. You gotta plan for more hours and more need down the road.
And it's difficult to have that foresight sometime to think that far ahead. Like, do you do weekly meal planning at all? You and your wife, you and Isabel?
Yes. In that whatever she decides, I'm okay with.
It is hard.
Well,
that's
nice.
She does all the planning, so that's a better question for Isabel.
But it's even trying to do that is hard. You know, you're planning a week ahead. Forget about months from now when you don't know what's going to happen. To think that far ahead, it's just I'm stuck in the moment. I'm dealing with what's in front of me.
Yeah.
But having that forethought to do that planning is really, really helpful. Or getting care in place earlier to grow with you as your needs grow. It's going to make it so much easier when that time comes.
We have a little more to talk about on this, and then I got an absolute doozy of a fact pattern for you, Phil. You might get visibly upset when you hear it.
Okay.
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And my name is Phil Vacchio. And before the break, we were talking about superhero caregivers, those unheralded superheroes out there.
They walk amongst us, Phil.
They do. They're everyday men and women out there doing superhero work and caring for their loved ones. And we were saying, Dave, how that can be varying degrees of difficult and the needs can change over time. And, you know, one of the points that I think is really important to hammer home that I started to was getting care in place early. And I have a lot of clients that come to me and they say, well, it's still feasible. We're still able to handle it ourselves. And I said, that's great. And I mean, you know, hopefully you're doing what you can. But you don't know, you know, with prognoses like dementia or Alzheimer's that we see often, or Parkinson's or ALS, we don't know when that's going to get worse. And it could be a very slow decline. It could be very quick out of nowhere.
Is it fair to say it's almost certainly going to get worse? I mean, I don't want
to. At some point in time, it's going to get worse. Yeah. It's just a matter of when that is. And there's really no doctor that can tell you that exactly. So it's difficult. But you don't want to start the planning when it gets to that point. So we can get someone on what's called community Medicaid. We talk about that all the time. There's eligibility rules, but there's pretty easy ways we can get around those and shift assets around, form pooled income trusts like we talk about to protect income. So there's things we can do there and get the care started.
Let me stop you just for a second, because when you said planning, the first thing I thought of was if your family member has a diagnosis, all's well, but oh man, just got this. That's when the plan, like a trust, like a good power of attorney, like a gifting provisions in the power of attorney, like making sure your estate plan makes sense, making sure that, you know, if dad has something awful, that mom's plan no longer leaves things to dad who has something awful. All those planning things, like this is not up for debate. You have to have that part of the plan in place. And then what you're saying is that's for the end of the day type of thing.
Yeah.
But you also need to start getting the benefits out there early, because it's not going to get better and the benefits are there waiting for you.
Absolutely. That's what you're talking about, is that base foundation plan, just making sure the correct documents are in place, everything is set up correctly for what may come. And then there's the plan for the actual care that's needed, right? And those two things go hand in hand together. You can't get the care in place a lot of times if you don't have that estate plan in place as well. And you're making changes to the plan. In that case, we have two spouses. Usually they're each other's primary agents and across the board. And obviously, if your spouse's cognitive abilities are declining, probably a good time to change that from your spouse to somebody else.
Right.
So there's that base plan, and then there's the care plan that we can help with in the legal side. We have Kim Hansen in our office that can help on the practical side out in the field, getting the caregivers in place and the options available. But that care can grow with you. So if we get it in place now, and your needs change over time, the hours that you have through the program can increase. We also don't know if there's going to be a rule change. You know, we're the boys who cry wolf on the radio all the time talking about community Medicaid. You guys have heard it before. There's a 2.5-year look back looming. It's been looming since October of 2020. How long ago is that now? Almost 4 years?
4 years.
And they're saying the next quote-unquote start date is sometime in 2025. So if you're in a position right now where your parents, your loved ones can use some care and, you know, they have assets, we still have the opportunity right now, at least, to move them immediately and get that person qualified. And only if it's for some hours per day at this time, they're needs will like increase over time. We can increase those hours, and those benefits are already in place. Even if they change the rules, they're already in place.
If you don't want to use the hours, don't use it yet.
Yeah,
you're actually allowed to. And to Phil's point, you know, we had a client, Phil, where dad's in a rehab facility right now. Daughter, I met daughter, and daughter said, "Dad's coming home."
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a question; it was a statement. Dad, my dad is going home. And I said, okay, that's good. And I said, we can get him qualified. He didn't do any planning yet. We can get him qualified and so on. And I said, but we're looking at between Thanksgiving and Christmas for you to see the benefit of that. So between today, which was, I think, the 19th, and, I don't know, Thanksgiving, let's yeah. say, if he's home, you need to provide care. And if it's not you and your siblings, you need to private pay for people to provide care. And if you're going to say, well, he's not ready then, and he'll stay where he is, well, then be prepared to pay $600 a day, because that's what the facility told her it was going to be.
Yeah.
So rock in a hard place.
Wow.
But guess what? Before this gentleman fell and went to the hospital and then went to rehab, he was still 93 years old. That was still the case.
Yeah.
Right? He was still not doing great. He still had help that was needed for his life, maybe not as dramatic as it's about to be.
Right.
And that's an example of, well, if we're already needing certain help with activities of daily living, maybe we didn't just fall, but we're still not doing great in general. That's a perfect example of where you do want to get some of these balls rolling. You may want to apply for community Medicaid when there's a couple of issues going on, but we don't need to start using those hours. We don't need to start using that pooled income trust to protect our income while we're getting the care. The difference between the two, it's like planning a shower 3 months ahead of time, or being able to turn on the hot water and get hot water immediately.
Yeah.
We want our clients, when they have that need and they want to actually act on that need, I want the care available immediately. And that only happens if you've already gone through the Medicaid process.
Right.
We've done the app. And what ends up happening is that when those clients, Phil, that tell you, no, we're good right now, when they decide they're not good anymore, immediately they can get the help rather than waiting 3 or 4 months at that point.
Yeah, that'd be exactly a whole lot better. Yeah.
They've already done the legwork. They've already submitted the application, been approved. You know, in your example, someone in a facility, he's 93 years old. Like you said, he probably needed care before. And if he was already on those benefits to come back home, they could have had someone waiting in the wings, right? It wouldn't be. Well, now you're going to
not 2.5 months, maybe.
Yeah, not 2.5 months, but now they're going to have to go gather documents. We're going to have to submit an application. And then, you know, the practical aspect of getting those aids in place can be quite difficult as well. The number of people that need care versus the available aids, there's a somewhat of a discrepancy there. And that's just the reality of it. So you need to start the process early enough, accounting for that time it may take to actually get the care in place paid for by Medicaid.
It's a process.
So
can I tell you this thing that happened?
Let's hear your doozy of a fact pattern.
So this is, for those that are saying, well, this is all good to know, and hopefully my family will never have this diagnosis in place, and if we ever do, we'll give you a call and we'll start, you know, we'll go from there. Great. It does not hurt anyone for you to have a list of your assets somewhere, for you to have, some idea as to what assets you own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you never know if someone's going to have to step in to help you out. And if they are going through boxes and boxes of 20 years of mail and other things you decided to hold on to because...
Just in case.
Yeah. It makes life very difficult. And so about a month and a half, 2 months ago, we had a fact pattern, existing client, where client's brother is in rehab, likely to never leave the skilled nursing facility.
Okay.
So... already the wheels are turning. Okay, we got to get this gentleman qualified for Medicaid. We know whether he's done a trust, he's never done a trust. We can get him qualified for Medicaid as soon as possible. That as soon as possible will vary based on the level of his assets and whether or not he had a trust in place and so on. He had nothing in place, Phil.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
Basic
not,
documents?
Not a power of attorney, not a will, nothing. Not a trust, not a healthcare proxy, nothing.
Okay.
He did have... dozens and dozens and dozens of boxes and things outside of boxes that was in place in his home all over the place.
Okay.
So sister's like, okay, I need to now figure this out. First thing she does, calls us. I say, here's a checklist of things I need you to start to gather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just get me down the road here.
Yeah.
We'll do a power of attorney to get him to sign a power of attorney so you can start to act for him to you know, retain us.
Sure.
He can then go to the bank and ask for 60 months, 5 years of everything.
Right. Right.
But they spent weeks just going through piles of, I mean, there was, you could only imagine.
They're playing detective role. Mm-hmm. They're having to piece together someone's life by 20 years of paperwork.
Yeah.
Right. So the Medicaid was taking quite a while. Now the facility is getting upset. They're saying, why aren't we getting paid? What's going on here? Meanwhile, our clients are stopping what they're doing, which is living their lives and enjoying their retirement, spending every day trying to you know,
figure
be Sherlock Holmes, right?
Yeah.
Nature happens, and this gentleman ends up passing away. So now we're in the exact situation, except we're going to have an estate. We're going to have a probate or an administration. We don't know if he had a will. We haven't gotten that through that far through the pile, Phil.
Right.
Oh, boy.
We're still not sure what assets he's got. We know he's got creditors. We know this and we know that.
Right.
And
there's accrued nursing home bills as well.
He has. The Medicaid was going to be a five-figure fee thing.
Yeah.
The estate administration normally doesn't cost a ton. It's just time and annoying. No, this is going to cost a ton.
Yeah.
Because we got to do a lot of work now to reconfigure everything and handle his finances. And all of this could have been avoided if there was a little more organization. And you're going to say, well, what are the chances someone who's hoarding things is going to also be organized?
Right.
I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're like, okay, well, we're listening to you and we're not, you know, thank God we don't have a diagnosis for long-term care and we already have our trust in place or this, what else could you do? Make sure you're organized and make sure that there's someone that you trust that knows where the important things are. Because, for example, if you're a client of Phil's or Jay Marie's or mine, somewhere in your file in the vault, we have, you know, your client questionnaire that gives us at least
some information,
some breadcrumbs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, having that roadmap in place is, and that's not necessarily a legal part of the discussion we have with the clients, but it's a huge, huge help to your loved ones of knowing what is going on, you know, what kind of assets you have in place, where they are, potentially usernames and passwords. If you have everything locked up in a fireproof safe at your house, make sure people know how to get into that safe,
The
ones that you want to. If you have a safe deposit box, which don't love that idea, but if you insist on having one, maybe put someone joint on it, make sure they know where the key is. All these things are going to make life a lot easier.
You can't say safe deposit box with 2 minutes left in the show. That's like a 15-minute topic.
You know,
I'm itching to talk about it.
Every time someone heads it, I just cringe inside.
They're the worst.
But this scenario you're talking about here, Dave, I can't imagine this person having to go through all this trouble and then, on top of that, go through the grieving process.
Yeah.
Yes.
That has got to be really hard.
Yeah, while
so it's even more important to what you say.
Yeah, and you know, without getting into too much of the details, the sister, my client, is likely not going to see a big financial benefit from any of this.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's got to do what's right. She's got to take care of her brother and make sure that money goes to where it's supposed to go. And there's a house that needs to be sold, Phil.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I know it's beautiful out today. Winter is coming.
Yeah.
It is.
Not a great time of year to sell a house
or empty
a house.
How are the bills paid? Right? What bills do you pay? We don't know what creditors there are.
Yeah, she's not in an enviable role right now. And unfortunately, as much as she loves her brother, he kind of stuck her in that for lack of planning.
I mean, talk about superhero.
Yeah.
That's on both ends of the equation there.
That's going to be a tough mountain to climb.
When we met this week to talk about the work that's got to be done with the estate stuff, at the end of the meeting, there was a big hug.
Yeah.
It was a, we'll get you through this type of hug.
Yeah, she's going to need that support. That's a tough role she's putting. We have those booklets really quickly. We hand out to our clients what's the name of the booklet? Should know. We'll come back to that
next week. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.